Minutes that we have, I pray that you please breathe upon us. This is the way that you speak to us. Father, you speak to us and you put faith in our hearts that we may receive and be blessed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. This moment, Lord, I pray that your word that accomplishes everything that you send it to accomplish, we do so this morning, Lord. Give us today, Father, the bread that we need, Lord, from this pulpit in the name of Jesus. Exalt the name of your Son. Lay your loving, compassionate hands upon us as we hear in the name of Jesus. Father, please bless me this morning, Lord. Grant to me the grace, Lord, to utter the things that you would want and only the things that you would want, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have given to us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, children, you're free to go to your churches. So last week we talked about which one is easy to say. And we talked about how the easiest choice is not always Christ's choice. And also hopefully how we need to expect more from the Lord, not just the glib, not just the Christian language, but expect power from the Lord. Expect greater things. The same Lord that promises us salvation is able to save us. The one that promises prosperity is able to bless us. So don't let us always stay in our relationship with Jesus at the rhetorical level, at the word level, right? Let us press on to know the Lord and to know his power. The Lord that promises to keep us on earth is also able to bring us to glory to wash our sins away. So let our expectations, the theme of last week is that expectations should be higher and we should never always take the easy road in Christ. We can all come to our comfort zones, and before we know it, we are all very comfortable Christians and we have no great expectations beyond words. Can we bring up the song? I'd like us to sing a song this week. We might know the song. It's not one of our regular songs. And I pray that the Spirit will minister to us as we sing this song. This should be, of course, the anthem of every Christian. It's the song that says, "Earthly pleasure vainly calls me, I will be like Jesus. Nothing worldly or earthly shall enthrall me," right? I will be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this is my song, right? In the home and in the throne. Be like Jesus all day long. I will be like Jesus. How many of us know this song? Who? Where are Peter? It's not a song of praise. Yeah? In the song of praise. Yeah, I know. I probably sang it in my primary school. Yeah. But and I mean, before we go into that, something, a thought occurred to me that I wanted to share with you. I remember there are so many things that when our parents used to take us to church, many of the things we know as Christians now were things that we learned from just sitting down. We weren't listening. Until you became born again, and those were some of the things that God used after you became born again. I remember recalling songs, all things bright and beautiful. I was just bright and beautiful. I didn't know the meaning of those songs. But later when the Spirit blessed me, so as we bring these kids to church, as we do our devotions with them, even if it appears as though they're not paying attention, God is able to use all of these things when the time of enlightenment comes to them. So please do not be discouraged. So please, let's rise and sing this song together. Let's go back to the previous. It goes this way. Earthly pleasures vainly call me, I will be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me, I will be like Jesus. And then the chorus says, be like Jesus, this my song. in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I will be like Jesus. Do we get the song? Or they sang another way in the Anglican Church. You know, because we're like, I did something wrong. Give us the Anglican, the repeat. You know, Brother Bumi. He was looking at me like I butchered the song. Okay. So I want you to think seriously, because this is the message ultimately. Let's sing it together, Una. Earthly pleasure, call me, I will be like Jesus. Nothing worldly shall enthrall me, I will be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I will be like Jesus. He has broken every fetter. I will be like Jesus. That my soul may serve him better, I will be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I will be like Jesus. Is there any other? All the way from earth to glory. I will be like Jesus. Let's stop. Let's stop, please. I want the men to take these stanzas. I want the women to take the I will be like Jesus. And all of us to take the choruses together. Right? So I want to be sure that the men are singing. So let's, men. To glory.
I will be like Jesus.
Telling all and all the story.
I will be like Jesus.
I will be like Jesus. Now I know who was spoiling the song. Let's start again. All the way from earth to glory. Telling all and all the story.
I will be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I will be like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Please, let's be seated. The theme for this morning is, be ye imitators of Christ, of God. Be ye imitators, copiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes it appears that after we are born again, the question is, what next? What else are we called to? What should we be doing? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible calls us there to be imitators of God as dear children. We should copy him. Our goal every morning in everything is that we may be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our duty as Christians to be like Christ. In the Ephesians 5 that we read, the very first verse there says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. It is as simple as that. We owe it to the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that in everything we copy him. And of course, the natural question that derives from there is, how much are you copying Jesus? The Bible says that we're actually dead and our lives are hidden in Christ. How are we challenging ourselves to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ? Oftentimes, it looks like all that we are called to do is to be born again. It oftentimes looks like we are just called to be born again. Just come and believe. And people get bored. Because I remember that it never used to be like that. It used to be that when you are called to be born again, there are certain sets of standards and principles that you follow. There's a love for Jesus that keeps driving us to copy a man. There's a certain set of values that you aspire to as a believer. And then the best question at times that we have to ask one another is, have you read your Bible today? As though you are born again to just read your Bible. How is your prayer life? As though the life of a Christian is just to pray. But there's a reason we read the Bible and there's a reason we pray. It's to certain ends and certain means. The end and the means is that we may be like Jesus. The Bible says, as through a mirror, a glass, we behold the glory of the Lord, and we are transformed in the same image from glory to glory. Paul, writing to one of the churches in the Spirit, said they are his children over whom he travails. He continues to walk so that Christ will be fully formed in them. I pray that God will empower us to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. When he had 12 around him, they followed him. And as they followed him, it came to a point that people could tell that they had been with Jesus from many things that they did, the way they talked. You know, there's this cliche, and I think it's true, that if you've attended a church long enough, or walked with a man, or had a friend long enough, or been married long enough, that you start behaving like the other person, that all of you will start acting alike. So there's a big denomination, for instance, in the country that I come from, where you can bet that as the ministers speak, you hear everybody say hallelujah. Well, they have walked with their general overseer, and that's what the general overseer says. I had a friend when I was in high school who was not a believer at all. I rediscovered this friend later on in life, and by then he had become a minister in one of the denominations, and I could go and reconcile the person I knew in high school in terms of language and everything, with the person that I met later in life. So also, as we walk with Jesus Christ, we should be transformed in the image of Christ our Redeemer. They were called Christians. Be like Jesus, this is my song. Be like Jesus when I wake up. The Bible says that we are no longer our own, but we are bought with a price. Jesus bought us. He bought the right. None of us has a right to our personality. And we're going to touch on a few ways in which God calls us to be like Jesus Christ. So if someone asks you, are you born again? Yes. What are you doing today? What is the longing of your heart today? Oh, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, that I may know the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be made conformable to his death, because I also want to attain to the resurrection of dead like him. That was an accomplished apostle speaking. Even as accomplished as Paul was, his goal was still that I may know him more and more. I want to be like Jesus more and more. May the Lord empower us to know him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18. That we may be followers and imitators of Christ. You know, Christian worlds have changed, and increasingly in the past few years, the Lord has been showing me that we have to be very careful, not just about Christian words, but we must also ask ourselves what they mean. Do you understand what I mean? Because some words, what they used to mean 300 years ago is not what they mean today. I mean, I can give you an example. When I was in high school, when you said someone was gay, you meant that they were happy. It's Satan has changed that word to mean something else. In church, there used to be a time that you could just say, I love you. But now, you must qualify it in Jesus' name. Love has changed. Satan has arrested the meaning of the word. We have to be careful. One very important Christian word that has changed, Satan has changed it on us unknowingly, is also the word, I give my life to Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 and examine chapter 10, and examine what such words meant in the life of Christ, and what it now means in our days. Because the word, I give my life to Jesus, the words, it's a powerful word. You're essentially saying, I have become a bond servant. Or, like Paul will say, it was saying, it is no longer I that lives. So when Paul said it, he meant it to mean that it is no longer I that lives, but it is now Jesus that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. So that was what that phrase used to mean. I don't think you will find that phrase in the Bible. Right? It was a phrase that we coined up. Does anybody remember any New Testament? No, it's not a phrase that you find directly in the Bible. It just represented a devotion, a commitment, a change of life. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord has sent his disciples and they had experienced ministry. And they had come back and they had rejoiced exceedingly. But when I read this passage, something struck me. And it just taught me what these people signed up for. And I dare say that unknowingly, we may have signed up, but many people unknowingly have not signed up for this kind of thing. If only someone explained to them that this is the expectation that Jesus has. I mean, people have signed up to preach. They've signed up for the signs and wonders. But what about people who have given their lives? And Jesus, my Lord, wanted these people to totally understand what it truly meant. Because they just had a dandy time preaching and people were coming to the Lord. They were seeing signs and wonders and they were so excited and he just piped them down. So let me tell you what you just signed up for. verse 16. Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Because when they went out on that mission walk, they did not meet wolves. They came back and they saw people glorifying the Lord. They saw only the rosy side of ministry. They saw people walking up. They saw the glory of the Lord because he gave them authority to heal the sick. He gave them authority to raise the dead. They probably saw that thing that most of us desires to see. But there's another side. That is when you start wondering about this phrase, giving my life to Jesus Christ and imitating Jesus. He began to show them the fullness of his own commitment. Because everything Jesus was asking of them here, he went through it himself. He wanted them to have a whole, in a more fanciful word, a holistic. I never knew what that word means. Just sounds like it encompasses everything. Okay. A holistic view. And as you sit down this morning, I ask you, is your perception of the Christian race romantic? Because I dare say many of us have a very romantic view. And it imparts our ability to imitate Jesus. Many of us are very self-independent. And you cannot be independent and follow Jesus. You know, there's no bond servant that is independent. Many of us are very opinionated. You cannot be opinionated and follow Jesus. It takes a certain kind of humility to give your life. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And Jesus said to them, be wise as serpents. Be harmless as doves, because he was wise as serpents in his dealings. He was harmless as a dove in his dealings. I was saying, follow me. Well, Peter did not get this message. Remember when battle came, what did Peter first do? He drew the sword because he did not get the concept then that he was to give his life. You see, at times where our position, our outlook may substantially differ from Christ's outlook, and we really do not know because we have not given our lives up. And the Lord had to say to Peter, sheathe your sword. Those who die by the sword, who live by the sword, will also die by the sword. Until the same Peter now became someone who could imitate Jesus and say, you want to hang me on a cross? Why don't you try? This one is not in the Bible, but from history. He said, look, I'm not worthy to be hung the same way that my Savior was hung. Hang me upside down. Now he was no longer afraid of death. He had become a dead man. He had given his life to Jesus. He was imitating Jesus even in death. Be wise. Please write this down. One of the ways as Christians that we must emulate Jesus is in our conduct, in our communication, in our dealings. See how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with everyone he met. He was wise. He was harmless. Oh, are you trying to trick me with words? Bring out the coin. Whose picture is on the coin? Caesar. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to the Lord what is the Lord's. He was wise. Let's pray for wisdom. Many of us deal with situations based on our personalities, not imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us is a sword for a sword still. When you insult me, if you give me one, I give you three back. No, we must be gentle as doves. On this point, I think I'll just summarize it. It's the book of Philemon. I challenge us to read that book because it is the book, in my opinion, the Philemon was written to teach Christians wisdom. How to be wise, how to deal with people. when you get home, it's one chapter. See how Paul dealt with this slave owner called Philemon. Gentle and wise. The obvious thing, the things you are inclined to do at your first instinct may not always be the correct things. Here was a situation where a man owned a slave and the slave ran away. And this man was a Christian. I mean, if it had been my matter, I would have first said, in the first place, how dare you own a slave as a Christian? And I'm reading Philemon and I'm seeing Paul deal with this delicate situation with wisdom and harmlessly. Say, hey, Philemon, Onesiphorus or whatever his name, your slave ran to me. This prior man was probably a very important man, the Philemon man. I'm a passionate Christian. Say, you know what? I have the right to keep him. You know what I mean? You know, your boy is my poor boy. And besides, you owe me. Remember how many hours I spent in your house teaching you the word of God? I made sacrifices for you. You owe me big time and you haven't paid. Now I want you to pay me back. But here's how I want you to pay me back. This is your boy. I can keep him. You know, I can, if I say I want to keep the slave, what will you do? Are you going to force me? No, you owe me. After I'm your apostle. But you know, I'm not going to keep him, Philemon. I'm not going to keep him. I'm going to send him back to you. But this man is very precious to me. Now he's mine, but I want you to treat him like a brother. I want you to treat him not like a slave, because remember, you yourself are a slave to the Lord. So this is the favor you do me. I'm sending you back your slave. Now treat him like one of your sons. And I can imagine Philemon reading that letter and chuckling. This boy, I was going to have you chuckled. I'm going to have you shackled. Hey, wow, Paul. Okay, just go. Just go and get a donkey. Have you eaten? And then, the man of God in wisdom does not just end that way. He goes, oh, by the way, I'm still going to be in town in a few days. Reserve a room for me. I'm going to be staying in your place. Men, people of God, do you see the wisdom in that? Is that how you deal with your husband, your wife, your colleagues at work? Do you humor them? Harmlessly. Be ye imitators of Jesus Christ. The more you embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ, the more he keeps quiet. The Bible says he did not speak a word. We have work to do. The Bible says that they may, although they speak evil of what we believe in, of us, they should see our good works and glorify our God who is in heaven. So in conduct, we must learn to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. The word imitate compels you to take an action. That's why I like it so much. If you want to imitate someone, it compels you to get closer to the person and take action. Matthew chapter 5. In your dealings with men, imitate Jesus. And this has so many angles to it. There's a song, a Yoruba song that says, I'll need interpreter. I want to be like Jesus in everything. No one has ever had a cross word in his mouth. That part isn't really true. In the temple, the Lord was crossed. He was crossed several times. But essentially, there's a perfect conduct to Jesus. Mommy. Yes. Yes, I want to be like Jesus in cool conduct. No one ever hear a crossword. As we go into the week, as in the way we deal with men, have you noted the way Jesus dealt with men? Number one, Jesus never put his confidence in any man. He knew that men at best. The Bible says because he knew what was in their heart. Beware of men. And that's the only phrase I want to take from that verse 17. He said, in this particular situation, he's talking about men who will do you evil. In too many instances, we've put our confidence in men rather than in Christ. In politicians who have disappointed us. Beware. As a Christian, we find ourselves negotiating with men. Whereas the Bible tells us that Jesus did not put his confidence in men because he knew what was in man. Please write this down. You can confirm it. John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. The Lord Jesus Christ did not regard the person of any man. To him, all men are alike, equally to be loved. But do we not find favoritism? We pay attention to important people. We forget people that we deem are less important. Attention to well-dressed people. People are not well-dressed. We ignore them. James wrote to the church about that. We pay attention to men of title within the church. Men without title are treated regularly. But Jesus said, beware of men. Because the way God sees every person is different. The Lord sees all men as equal, equally guilty to be redeemed by grace. All thrones, all dominions, all powers, all titles are under his feet. We have to imitate Jesus. We should not ascribe importance to people and things based on their achievement. Do we imitate Jesus this way? Do you accord? You're less smart. You're less pretty. You're less fortunate cousin. The same attention, the same deference, the same love that you accord the ones that are prominent in your household. We should imitate Jesus in the way he saw people. How about titles and positions? All of those mean nothing to Jesus. Those are all man-made things. Christ said, what is it that you have been given? What is it that you have that you have not been given? If you then have been given, then why do you glory in it? Paul told us, do not glory in men, whether it's Peter, Apollos. He said, we are mere ministers by whom you all believed, as God gives to every man. Many people have made the mistake of exalting men above that which they should, and by so doing, they have lost their direction in faith. So you hear my pastor said, you hear more of my pastor said than Jesus said, but we should be imitators of Jesus. If you notice the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, God forbid I should talk about anything except Christ and him being crucified. He said, I did not come speaking my own words. I did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom. He said, I determined to know nothing amidst you except Jesus and him being crucified. I am not preaching that I should be famous. I'm not preaching that I should be titled. I'm not preaching that I should be honored by men. What I hear my Savior say, that is what I say. Beware of men. Paul rebuked the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, read chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. There's a series of chapters there where he said, look, I've tried my best to behave and minister in the most humble way. But some people will come from Jerusalem. Then Paul said they call themselves super apostles. He said, those are the people that you'd like to listen to. You love their lofty words. He said, when they cheat you, when they slap you, when they abuse you, he said, that is the one you like. He said, God forbid. Or when they take from you. He said, God forbid that I should do something. He says, he will rather suffer than take from them. You know, as human beings, we like. It's part of us, but those are the things you remove when you become a Christian. Because the Bible says that he did not count, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not count his deity. That's what the phrase equality with God means. He's by nature deity. He did not count his deity something that he should cling to, but he voluntarily gave up his deity. And he took upon himself the aura of a servant and humbled himself even to the death on the cross. And now because of such humility, he said the Lord his God has exalted him and given him a name above every other name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. Do not look at men more highly. John the Baptist said that he may increase and I may decrease. Do you know why? It's impossible to see God when men occlude him. There are whole denominations today. Now the hierarchies and the structure are occluding the people, the glory of the Lord from the people. They can no longer see Jesus. All they see is the papacy. Beware. There's no replacement for Jesus in your life. No replacement. Let us imitate Jesus. Let's imitate Jesus in the way we speak. I'll give us a few verses. Ephesians 5:4, Colossians 4:6, Ephesians 4:26. All of those, some of these verses tell us that we should not allow any filthy communication to come out from our lips, but that which is good for edifying, that it may administer grace to those that hear. Sorry. Ephesians 5:4, Colossians 4:6, Ephesians 4:29. I should slow down. Okay, sorry. Ephesians 5:4, Colossians 4:6, Ephesians 4:29. When we hear, let's test the words we use. It says, neither quas jesting, which is not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. The speech of a Christian should be filled with grace and seasoned with salt. You should be able to speak in a day everywhere and people will say, this person has been with Jesus. We can't be Christians and be talking guy talk. Cool talk. May the Lord forgive me every time that I've talked cool talk. May the Lord forgive me. Are you for Christ or what? The word, these are opportunities of evangelism. You know, every word, the Bible says that the Lord will judge every single idle words and word that we speak. And that was when some people said, accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub. He said, be careful what you say with your tongue. He said, because by your words you'll be judged. Where is the flavor of grace? The flavor of holiness? The flavor, we have buried the flavor of holiness underneath guy talk. We want to be cool. We want to be like everyone else. So you see a Christian amidst his peers, and you say, oh, yeah, man, yeah, yeah, Bushiwan, yeah, yeah, that's how it is. We have to imitate Jesus in the way he spoke. Two verses of the Bible really, really drove this home for me personally. Let's open our Bibles quickly to John chapter 16. verse 13. Another person to John chapter 12, verse 49. And I want you to pay very careful attention to this. And I pray that it will also drive us or motivate us to change the way we speak. To consciously change. Imitation means to take a conscious action to copy someone. Anybody that finds either should read it. No, it's not 16:16. 12:49, 16:13. Am I going too fast? Please. Says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, we're talking about the mighty Holy Spirit here, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine. And that is what he will say to you. This tells me something. That the Holy Spirit has his own personality and his own mind. But Christ is saying that even the Holy Spirit does not authorize that authority that he has to say what he wants. He deliberately speaks only the things that he hears Jesus say. If that is true of the Spirit, how about you? We can't come to the pulpit and say, Bishop Joseph last week called me and called me out. Says, look, you are sitting on the pulpit of the Most High God. You cannot generalize. You cannot just say all pastors do this. And it is true. I don't own the pulpit. I dare not say one word that is not true. May the Lord forgive me. The Lord has forgiven me. Because I want to say everything right. This is not my pulpit. You don't possess the altar of the Most High God. You are a servant. The Bible says, if any man speaks, let him only speak as an oracle. An oracle is someone who declares something on a greater person's behalf. Every time we open, as ministers, we open our Bible to preach. Please suspend your own word. I don't want to know what you think. It doesn't matter what you think. Your thinking is flawed. The thoughts of the eternal God is what matters. As ministers, let's be very careful not to possess the household of God. Be very, very careful. I does not matter in Christ. We are talking about something that is so much more important, something that will outlast you, something that has existed before you, through you, and after you. The Lord will ordain a fresh new set of tongues and leaders to take over his tongue. His church. Imitate Jesus in the way he speaks. He doesn't speak of himself. How about that second passage? This example is of the way the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent him gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. The last verse in 50 says, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. You don't own your tongue. If you want to be a Christian teacher, please forget what your opinion is. If you are not sure about a topic, just quote the Bible and leave it there. It's okay to say, I don't know. What Jesus tells us to say is what we must say. The people are perishing because we're changing the word of God for our own. If every evangelist went about saying only Jesus' words, the Lord Jesus Christ would be better known. It is not good to find a Christian in the midst, in the seat of the scornful, sitting in the way of sinners, in the company of the ungodly. No man, it does not glorify you as a prince to be sitting with drunkards, with covetous. You know, we always say that, look, we have to go and mingle with them because how do we influence them? The irony is that they end up influencing us more than we influence them, if you are going to admit. Evil communication does what? Corrupt good morals. The Christian race is about imitating Jesus. Walking like Jesus. Trying to be like him. Anybody that seeks to be like him will eventually be like him. Many times people who seek to be rich, they eventually get rich. Those who seek to, if they're lucky, you're right. Those who seek to be famous, they eventually get famous. But the Christian aspiration is to be like Jesus and you will be transformed. He said, we look dimly as through a mirror. We behold the glory of the Lord. But gradually, as you keep looking, you'll be transformed in his image from glory to glory. You have many people who start very well. Actually, anybody who was truly born again, we know that their primary aspiration once was to be pure and holy and to be like Jesus and talk. When you said something bad, you slapped yourself. Bah, bah. I said, look, that's childish. They'll slap. He said, look, unless you convert and become like a little child. But very soon, many believers become full of it. And in our wisdom, we become foolish. We are no longer making progress. Brethren, let's not limit the Most High. It's very simple. Have a humble heart. The real house of God is full of people who are flawed, but the church is perfect. And within this church, as we rebuke one another and challenge one another, we get better, we get better, we get better, we get better. I challenge you, New Covenant Church. Let it not just be enough that we do Bible study and we do prayer meetings and we do practices. Let us measure our progress by how much we are resembling Jesus. Not by what we do, but the results we are getting. Singing, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. That's how you tell a believer. They could tell that they had been with Jesus. It's very hard, but the personality of Jesus was that his voice was not heard in the streets. He did not break a bruised reed. There was no harm found in his hands. He did not smother a smothering flax. He did not quench. He was harmless until he brought justice. That was his method. They are teaching us other methods in church today. We should be careful. They're saying we must carry a placard. They must say we must vote for a certain party. They're saying that we must be strategic in so many things. But the methods of Jesus, if we're going to imitate it, is that he won by his faithfulness, by his gentleness, by his focus, by the power of God. In Isaiah chapter 42, from verse 1 to 4, that scripture says, "This my servant in whom I'm well pleased," said, "I will fill him with my spirit."
Matthew chapter 5 as we close. From verse 18, he told them the trouble that they were to go through. 22, he said, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." How do we imitate Jesus? I'm beginning to think we can't really be imitators of Christ if we expect a life of convenience. I'm really beginning to suspect, because many of our compromises come from the fact that we actually expect to be comfortable, we expect to be right, we expect to be instantly justified. But as I look into the scriptures, I've been seeing that in the Bible, that is not the case. Then I saw where Jesus actually spelled it out. He said, look, you just had a dandy, famous, nice ministration. You just saw all of these wonderful things. But let me tell you what to expect. 22. You'll be hated for my name's sake. If you are seeking to be popular at home, there will be truths that you will not be able to speak to your wife or to your father or to yourself. And then you will not be imitating Jesus. If you are the kind of person that always seeks to be at peace with everybody, you cannot imitate Jesus. If you don't want to annoy anybody, you cannot imitate Jesus. You will be hated. When they persecute you in this city, run to another one. You wouldn't have gone through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Then he said, look, are you my disciples or what? A disciple is not greater than his master. All of this popularity of Jesus that you are hearing about, it came after he died, not while he was alive. He said in 25, it is enough that a disciple should be like his master in imitation of his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they called me the master of the house Beelzebub, what do you think you should be ready to be called? Many of us go into ministry expecting to be famous. We expect our congregation to love us. It takes a very spiritual congregation to love their pastor in the Jesus way. If you speak the truth to many people, they wouldn't be able to stand you. And many times when we are popular, it's because we are not speaking truth to people. Or we are speaking it in such a way that it looks inoffensive. If Jesus will look at his disciples and say, you are telling me that I will not do what the Father has called me to do, you are Satan. So that Peter will grasp the seriousness of what he was doing. The Lord could have said, no, you are mistaken. Look, this is what I'm called to do. And Peter wouldn't have been, he wasn't offended, thank God. That's why I said you need a spiritual congregation. If you are going to grow people, if you are going to sever people from their sins, if you are going to train people, if you are going to make sure that their roots grow deep, you must be ready to plow that ground underneath them. Let the sensitive live. Let those who are ready. You are called a shepherd, not a goat herd, or what did you call it the last time? So we become popular at the expense of souls. Because we speak our own words. You see someone going into adultery, you can't say they're in adultery. You see someone who is not born again, you can't tell them, look, you're going to hell. Jesus was not like that. Even those who wanted to follow them, he said, be sure you really know what you're about. He said, are you sure you want to follow me? You must drink my blood and eat my flesh. Are we cannibal? Drink blood and eat flesh. He just went. He said, the rest of you, will you follow? He said, are you still following me? He said, Lord, where can we go? A disciple. Brothers and sisters, as we seek to be disciples of Jesus, you can't be greater. Jesus cannot be dying on the cross and you're watching TV at home. Jesus cannot be criticized by Pharisees and Sadducees, and Pharisees and Sadducees are inviting you to dinner and giving you titles. Jesus cannot be hanging with the poor and the needy, and your aspiration is to hang and write books, big books, and post your picture on it, and then you make millions. Jesus is dying, teaching the word. You are making millions, preaching the word. A disciple cannot be greater than his master. Jesus cannot be known as the mystic, and you are known as the cool pastor. You are not imitating him. You're building your own kingdom. Peter, James, and John, disciples of Christ, cannot be giving their lives to Christ, and we are living for ourselves. A life of sacrifice. A disciple is not above his teacher. It is enough for a disciple that he will be like his teacher, verse 25. As we close, in the first century, when this gospel was preached to people, when people brought them the invitation to join the church, when they read these same scriptures, the things we discussed today were the things they understood clearly. They knew they were making a choice. Up until very recent times, every time someone commits to be a disciple of Jesus, these were the things, you know, when the Bible says count the cost, these were the things you considered. You know that you are being called to be a disciple of Jesus. That it is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. Now, you can say, what's my sankor with that? So all of this theory that you have put down today, how does it relate to me? Here's our sankor. Here's what scares me. Here's why I tremble at his word. I'm afraid that one day the shepherd will come and we will have in our hands a certain set of values which we have learned and we're used to. We've adopted and we're comfortable in. And then the shepherd will say to us that everything in our hands are not the things he requires. That the things he requires is the life that is sacrificed like this. While there's time, let us change. While the trumpet is yet to sound, let us reconfigure our Christian walk to be more sacrificial, more purposeful, more loving towards Jesus. Let's do away with all the theology. Let's do away with wanting to know definitions of this and that. Let's become practical imitators of Jesus Christ. Let's put away false hope and false confidence. Let our confidence be anchored in the outwork of God's grace in our lives. Because there are some people that hope in grace. But can grace abound? Can grace continue when sin abounds? There are Ananias and Sapphira that are giving, as we speak, 75%. But the Lord wants you to be faithful, truthful in your commitment to him. He wants you to love him. Christianity is about loving Jesus primarily, emulating him. To him you owe an answer. He is our advocate. On judgment day, he's the only one that will be by our sides. Think differently about Christianity, brethren. It is not enough to just let time pass us by. Let's make sure that what the Bible says is true of disciples is true of you. Give yourself no sleep. Give yourself no rest. Pray the prayer. Let your prayer points change. Let it be that I may be like you. Say, Lord, I want to see you. I've talked about you. I've believed in you, but I want to see you. I've heard you preached, but I want to see you. I know Peter saw you. I've quoted Peter. I've quoted Paul. But what about me, Lord? I can tell the story of the missionary journey of Barnabas and Peter. Lord, give me a story about my own missionary journey on life. Christianity is experiencing Jesus. As you go to the next party, imitate him. Next time you get angry, remember his word. Buttress your flesh. Don't look at your side. The Bible says you do not look behind. You do not look beside. In Hebrews chapter 12, you look ahead at the point of the high calling of the saints in Christ Jesus. Let the talkers talk. Let the noisemakers make noise. You just follow. Remember that disciple that came to Jesus? It was it Peter? The Lord said, follow me. He said, how about these other disciples? He said, look, why don't you just mind your own business? What do you care what I'll do with that? You just follow me. Father, we thank you and bless you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, I know by the witness of your spirit that this is your word, and I thank you for it. That unction you give to perform, that fire that burns in the soul, Father, that equipping that you gave to Peter that turned him into a new man and he became an imitator of Jesus. For my brothers, my sisters, myself, in our hearts, give it to us, Lord. For our church, give it to us, Lord. Help us to be saints indeed, indefatigable. Moving on with Jesus. Help us not to accept anything that is less than the standard that your word has given to us. Bless us, Lord. Give us promotion in the Spirit. Let our lives be lived for you, Lord. I know that it's not by power or by might. Even as we speak it and your word says it, we know, Lord, that it is only by your grace. That grace, Father, help us not to just talk about it. I pray, Lord, that we will experience it. Thank you for all you do, Lord. For in Jesus' name we say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.